Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which is actually your one-hour inspirational program. It's a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for 90 minutes tonight. We have an exciting, exciting show for you tonight, and I am thrilled to bring you this show. I just certainly look forward to it. I've got my co-host that's going to be joining me, my primary co-host, Lady C, who's going to be joining us. We're just waiting for her to press 1 on her dial so that we can go ahead and bring her in. We're so excited for tonight's broadcast. And tonight is going to be an interesting show. So she's already logged in, and let's go ahead now and bring Lady C in. Lady C, thank you for joining us this evening. It's always a pleasure to have you, and welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Hello, everybody. How's everybody's day? I hope it was great, because mine was pretty good today.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So, Lady C, we're waiting for some of our other co-hosts to also join us this evening. It's going to be a fantastic show, and I know we cover a lot. I'm still getting reviews from people who have phoned in and sent me various emails thanking me for last night's show. It was pretty deep. Let me just get your thoughts. You closed out the show last night. We talked about damaged, the road to recovery. We had the author, what was her name, Kiara Yuri on the show. Yeah, Yuri. So tell us what your thoughts were just before we go into tonight's broadcast.
Thought the show was amazing due to the fact that you were correct. It was about damaging of the mind, you know, things that we go through every day. People have faced, you know, traumas that people have faced, like sexual abuse, any type of abuse. It could be sexual, physical, emotional, anything that traumatizes the mind that can give you PTSD and different things like that, and how to deal with that trauma in the mind and how to heal yourself. And we also talked about, you know, some people can go through certain traumas and it takes them years on top of years to even heal. But healing does not have a time frame on it. It's how you cope with the situation that you've been through and how you're healing, how long it takes for you to heal and how you deal with it, you know, on a daily basis.
And that is a perfect summarization of what took place last night. And it's almost like death. You can't rush anyone through their time frame to heal. How does that, in your opinion, relate to a death or loss of a loved one?
I think it's a death of your innocence.
Okay.
It's a death it's a death of your innocence and a death of your spirit, because you were probably was once one happy, happy person, and it took one person changed that and traumatized your mind to now you have been stripped of that. Now you're facing depression. You're facing all of these mental illness in your mind due to something that was out of your control and something that someone else did, you know, which is not your fault. It's their fault on why they did this to you.
Right. So that's going to be, I mean, tonight we've got a fantastic show planned for you all tonight. you know, part of me doesn't even know where to begin, but tonight we're going to be talking about something so deep that you may want to send a text message right now to a close friend, a neighbor, a family member. Before I get into the depth of what this show is about, you may just want to send out a text message because we're going to go and get into it in about within the next 3 to 4 minutes. We're giving you time to reach out to any of your loved ones or friends because you don't want them to miss tonight's broadcast. So send them a quick text. Send somebody a quick text because, you know, what happens is people are now phoning in and say, well, their family members or friends are saying, well, why didn't you contact me earlier about that show's topic? You know, I didn't know that was going to be the topic, and I certainly wanted to listen to that show. And, of course, you can always go into the archives and listen, but it's nothing like catching that live show. I mean, when you catch that live show, you're really catching something. What do you think about that, Lady C?
I think you're correct on everything you just said. It's nothing like catching a show live, you know. And sometimes you may be facing something that someone else has gone through, and whatever that message that person has to give, it could bring healing or bring, you know, clarity to your life.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We're going to ask all of you on standby. If you think that you're going to want to speak to the issue tonight, you will definitely want to press 1 early enough. You will definitely want to press 1 early enough because you definitely want to be on tonight's broadcast. Let's go to the phone lines just for a second and see who do we have so far joining us. Let's go to 407-862. Welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Good evening, Dr. Jesse. This is Marva, Sister Marva. How are you?
Good, Sister Marva. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. We're going to ask you to stand by. We've got a lot to cover tonight. We just want to make sure that all the people are here that we have certainly been looking forward to being on tonight's broadcast. So we're certainly looking for, if you want to be able to speak to tonight's topic, you would definitely want to press 1. We're just going to go to the phone lines. And just before we go to the next phone line, let me ask, last night's show, we're still getting people that are calling in and saying, hey, that was a fantastic show. They really enjoyed it. They're asking when is the party going to come back on. Lady C, let me ask you this question before I go on. I want to find out, what is it that you took from last night's show, if anything?
Talk to my children.
Okay, you did.
I had a talk with them. I had a talk with them this morning, matter of fact, you know, on our way to school in regards to what to do if someone touches you in a sexually way, you know? Like an adult, another student, anybody, you know, touches you in a sexual way, what to do, you know, even if they threaten you and tell you, no, don't tell your parents or I'll kill your mom or I'll do this, I'll do that. You know, I just had a talk with them again after all the talks I've had. It's just yesterday just reminded me to do it again, to keep refreshing in their minds. If someone inappropriately touch you, this is what you do.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. So what we want to do is be able to make certain that we have these talks with our relatives. It is so important. So that's what we want to be able to do. How important is that? I'm still getting these calls that will the speaker come back and join us at another show? Don't you think that it's worthy for her to come back, ladies C?
I think it's worthy of her to come back. I think it's not only just worthy of her to come back. I think it's worthy of other people, to other authors, to come back as well. Because, you know, everybody, you know, the more we have, the more information we'll receive on certain topics, on abuse, you know, because everybody goes through some type of abuse. If it's not just mental abuse, not just emotional abuse or sexual abuse, it could be physical abuse. We can have a counselor that comes in and talk about physical abuse, because you never know. There's somebody that could be, you know, getting in fights with their significant other, and I can't say getting with their husband. I have to say significant other because we know there are a lot of women out there that beat up on their men, you know. But
oh, absolutely.
If we could get someone to come in and speak on that, we can save that woman's life, because sometimes we stay in relationships knowing we are being physically abused based on financial reasons.
Right,
you know,
right, absolutely.
We need to leave, but we are afraid to leave.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is so inspiring. The number of calls that we get all the time thanking us for these shows that we're doing, and their timely messages, and last night's show really touched me. And it's like, you know, just like you said, you talked to your kids this morning. There were a lot of people who talked with their family members after hearing Kiara on the phone last night and the information that she brought. I mean, it was so impactful. And I do know that we've got to get to tonight's show, and we're going to do that right now. Let me go ahead and we're very fortunate. I've got some noise in the background, you all. We're picking up every sound. We're picking up every sound in the studio. I do want to go ahead and bring in Kiara. She's going to be joining us for tonight's broadcast on tonight's subject. Kiara, thank you for joining us this evening, and we're still elated over your presentation last night.
Hello, everyone, and thank you very much for having me again tonight. It was a pleasure speaking with you yesterday, and I am honored again to be here tonight and to talk about tonight's topic as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. So tonight what we're going to be talking about is, the question becomes, if we are born into a world of sin, if we are born into a world of sin, is it all our fault that we are sinners? Is it all our fault that we're sinners? We're born into a world of sin. The Bible says that. So, Lady C, let me start out with you tonight and ask you, what do you think about that topic? If we're born into a world of sin, is it all our fault? And elaborate on that.
No. I don't think it's all of our fault, because we are born in sin. But God give us a free will of choice, you know? You know, if we go out there, we get in an altercation with someone on the street, it's our choice if we're going to go and beat that person up or not, or entertain them or consent to the fight. Or we could just walk away and go the opposite direction, just say, you know what, I don't have time for it. You know, it's to engage into the sin. So it's yes and a no. It's yes, it is our fault, and no, it's not our fault, because we're all born into sin. We can't escape it.
Okay, so when you say it is our fault, what are you saying? I mean, you're confusing me here. Is it our fault or is it not our fault?
It's by choice. It's our fault. It is. It's our fault if we engage into sin. It's our fault. It becomes a choice.
Okay. All right. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Lady C. We're on it tonight, because I've got some scenarios that you all definitely will want to touch on. Sister Marva, let me bring you in and get your opinion here on our topic tonight. If we are born into sin, is it all our fault that we're sinners? You're born into sin. You're born into sin. So is it your fault?
No.
All right. So then whose fault is it?
It's the fault of the devil, because he was here before us, thrown out of heaven for being sinful, and he came to the earth and caused our foreparents to sin. And sin grew and enveloped us. So as Lady C just said, when we have a choice. God gave us a choice. He gave a choice in the garden, and they made the wrong choice. And so this is where we are. But God says, my grace is sufficient for you. So if we call on him when we sin, we have grace and mercy to deliver us.
Okay, all right.
So
we're going to go to the phone line.
So no, it's not our fault.
Okay, it's not our fault. So if we sin, Sister Marva, according to you, then, I mean, do we have a pass? Is that what you're telling me? That God gives us a pass because he says, it's not your fault. It's not your fault that you're like that. So when Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it, is that, I don't know if you know who Flip Wilson was, but is that true? Is there any truth to that? That the devil made me do it?
That's true. I believe so. I believe that it's because of the devil, because he's there, and his messengers or imps are there, if we believe in God and his angels. But we, again, have a choice. We can say yes or no. And thought just went out of my head. Ask me the question again.
Okay, Sister Marva, what we're asking is it, the simple question is it our fault that we are born into sin and we're sinners? Is it our fault? And you said no. You said no.
No.
So we're going to ask you to stand by. Hang on a second. We're just going to ask you to stand by. And let me go to and bring in Kiara, who was joined us with us last night. Kiara, if we're born in sin, is it our fault that we're sinners? Is it our fault? We're born in this.
If we're born in sin, then I truly believe that it's not fault if we are sinners, if we're born into conditions like drug addict mothers, drug abuse homes. You know, they have to cope with a condition in their life that was forced upon them. So, no, it's not their fault if they, essentially now adapt to these behaviors, because that is what they were born into. So I would totally say that it's not their fault. Now, if you are an adult still living in your past life, then maybe you should try to learn how to change your life around and not live into the life that you were born into. That can also be your to make sure you're making those changes currently.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. We've got a number of calls we're going to try to get to tonight. Let's go to North Carolina, 919-272. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. Who do we have with us?
Yes, this is Christy. How's everybody?
We're doing good, Christy. Thank you for joining us. Christy, first begin by telling me, what is sin? What is sin?
Okay, sin is the transgression of God's law, okay? And sin separates us from God. So, as someone stated earlier, we have choices. Yes, we might have been born into sin, but that does not mean that we have to sin. God asks us to confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So just because Adam and Eve sinned and they were our first fathers and stuff, then that doesn't mean, yes, we all have come short of the glory of God. But that's, does that give you the reason to continue to live in sin? No, it does not. It's the choices that we make in life. Either we have right and wrong. We either for Christ or we for Satan. It is no in between, okay? So we all have choices to either sin or not to sin. If, again, God is so merciful that he is willing to forgive us, but that doesn't mean that we are constantly to just continue to live in sin. So it's the choices that we make in life. I'm sorry. It is the choice that we make to continue to live in sin or to sin not.
Okay. So, Chrissy, help me with this here verse, you all. We got a tight one tonight. You all don't want to miss this one here. We've got a lot to cover because the question is, if we're born into a world of sin, that Chrissy says is a transgression of God's law, okay, then is it our fault? We're born into this, and then is it all our fault that we're sinners? The Bible in Psalm 51 tells us, in Psalm 51, that, behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I said unto therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:21-24. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, in other words, here we're saying that last scripture, everyone has a sin. So, Christy,
yes,
I mean, you say, what about your past? You say, what about your past? But how can your past, I mean, and we know that Christ will he forgives us, but then can we ever be perfect enough to be recognized by God, in your opinion?
Well, of course, we first have to realize and accept God's will in our life and make up in our mind that we want to follow Christ and follow him all the way. And following him all the way, we might not become all the way perfect, but we could try daily to become like Christ. And it takes a dying to self daily so that we will not fall into sin. And the only way that you could do that is allow Christ to dwell in you and you dwell in him. And that's by reading and studying his word, because if you don't study God's word, then how are you going to know how to live? God's word is what it is. It says what it means, and it means what it says. So, again, sin separates us from God. So we got the choice. We have the choice. I'm sorry.
All right, Chris, we're going to ask you to stand by. We've got a hot one for you tonight. We've got a real hot one for you, and I need all of you all to stand by. Please be patient because we got a lot to cover. Let's go to 321-439. It's a caller there.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Dr. Valentine. How are you? How's everyone today?
Good. Dr. Valentine, thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Valentine, first let me ask you, Dr. Valentine, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I must confess, not so much confessing to man, but confess to God that I'm a sinner. Dr. Valentine, are you any better than I am? Because you may be perfect.
Let me. I was listening to you all, and I wanted to ask a question. God created everything. He even created Lucifer. That's
right.
Correct.
Right. But before you ask that question, can you tell me if because I'm a sinner, and you may be perfect, does that make you better than me in God's sight? Can you answer that question first?
I'm gonna answer it through answering this. I can answer you why. So when I was looking at creation, I was thinking about how God created even Lucifer. And when he created Lucifer, he said that there was iniquity found in him,
right,
in the very foundation of the world. And so as we know that Lucifer was cast out of heaven onto this earth. And so when we look at the creation of God, we look at how God created man from corrupted dirt that was already on this earth, because when Lucifer comes, he corrupts everything. So God created man from this corrupted dirt. We think that it was perfect in the beginning. So God created man from corrupted dirt. Now the thing is this: yes, the ladies were right that he does give choices, because he told Adam to not to eat from a specific tree.
Right, we know the story. So, Dr. Valentine, if you don't mind, you got to make the point, because we are really, we're on timers, if you don't mind.
Okay, so what I'm trying to say is that when it comes to us, the first original question is that I don't believe it's all our fault. Because when somebody sins and you see Christ made provision for that, like in a lawyer. So it's not absolutely our fault, but yes, we do have a choice to choose. And I don't think we're better than a sinner, because we all were sinners. Okay?
All right. Thank you. We're going to ask you to stand by, Dr. Valentine. We have a lot to cover tonight. And we're going to go to the phone lines in a moment. But we're picking up other conversations from other people. This studio picks up every sound. Let me go to Lady C. Lady C, let me bring you in here and ask, what is iniquity? What is it? The Bible says that we are born in sin and shaped into iniquity. And I hear what Dr. Valentine is saying, that Satan was here, Lucifer was here, that God found iniquity in his heart. And then God is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. So how could God have not known that iniquity was going to be found in Lucifer's heart? If God is all-knowing. Lady C, go ahead.
Well, let's say iniquity. We're going to give a definition of iniquity. And now I can understand why. You know, iniquity is immoral or grossly unfair behavior.
Right.
Was Lucifer fair? He wanted to be like God. He wanted the powers that God had. You know, Lucifer was like stir up trouble. God kicked him out because of his behavior.
Right.
So now I understand why. It's your behavior that causes the iniquity.
Okay. All right. So, but now look at this. Look at this. Look at this now. So we talk about iniquity. That's immoral or grossly unfair behavior. So we're talking about immoral behavior or grossly unfair, something that's not going to be fair. So if we look at it that way, then we're saying the Bible says we are born into sin, and then we're even shaped into, it sounds like, more of that stuff. We're going to ask you all to stand by. We got a deep one for you tonight, and we want to hear from you all. All you got to do is press 1 on your dial. You'll be able to. We're going to try to get to as many people as possible tonight, but if you keep your comments within 20 seconds or less, we'll get to them. Let's go to 856-316. Who do we have with us, and welcome.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Dr. Walker. Okay, so the question, this is Deborah.
Who do we have on the line?
This is Deborah.
Deborah, thank you for joining us. Go ahead.
Okay, so the question is it our fault? See, I think
it is
our. Go ahead.
No,
can you
I'm
hear
asking
me?
You. Is it our fault? Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Is it our fault?
Okay. Yes, I think it is our fault. Listen, in Romans it says, when I do good, when I would do good, it says evil is present with me. It's all around me. And so when we look at that, even though Christ came and he sacrificed, God sent his son to sacrifice for our sins, and then he sent us the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. If we could be sinless, he would not have had to send the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, it guides us into all truth. So if we was already guided into truth and we were sinless, then he would not have had to send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. So we're always sinning. That's why he says repent daily. So, but is it our fault? Yes, because have you ever, the Holy Spirit said don't do something and you just override the Holy Spirit because you know it's wrong and he's telling you, don't do that. But yet you do that. And so when we do that, then, yeah, we are sinning. We are normally sinning because the Holy Spirit is saying that's sin, and yet we do it. So, yeah, it is our fault. We do have a choice, and it is our fault. And, no, we won't be perfect until we get to heaven. That's the only time.
So, Deborah, let me ask you this. I'm a sinner. You may be perfect. Are you better than me in God's sight, or are we the same in God's sight?
I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner that's saved by grace, so I'm not perfect. And no, I don't ever think I'm better than anybody because I fall short. So no.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So we're all the same. So if God, the scripture tells us God is no respecter of persons, so the sinner over here that we might call in church and say that's a sinner over there, and because we think that we're not sinners, you know, so is that sinner, the person who we call a sinner, in God's sight, isn't that person equal to us? Deborah?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Somebody had to look, he had to look upon our sins and save us. And so we are no better. Absolutely not.
All right. So we're all the same in God's sight. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go here. Now, Chrissy, I want to bring you back in. I want to bring you back in, Chrissy, and here. Because I'm still stuck on this question. Is it, if we're born in sin, is it all our fault? Say, for example, my parents, Adam and Eve, let me just ask you based on fairness, on fairness. Chrissy, are you there? All right, we can't get Chrissy. We got some noise in the background. Let me go here with Dr. Valentine. Let me go with you, Dr. Valentine. Let me bring you in and ask this question. If Let's say, for example, Adam and Eve, which we know the story, partook of the fruit that God told them not to. That went against God, the contrary to God's law. All right? Now, we're looking for fairness here. We're asking the question about not sin, but just fairness now. So Adam and Eve partook of this fruit. So now, here it is, because Adam and Eve did this thing, which are our four parents. The question becomes, is it fair that all of us got to go through the pain and suffering? Women give pain in childbirth, and man got to work from the sweat of his brow. Is it fair that we go through pain and suffering as a result of sin from our four parents? We're asking the question of fairness. Go ahead, Dr. Valentine. Quickly, please. Okay, perhaps Dr. Valentine is not there. Lady C, let me bring you back in. Lady C, what do you think about that? Okay, let me go to Lady C, though. We missed you for a moment. Lady C, is it fair? Lady C, are you there?
Okay. Well, you kind of blanked out a little bit on my end, so I didn't hear the question all the way of what you were saying.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by. Sister Marver, did you hear the question?
Yes, sir.
All right, so Sister, the question is about fairness. The question is about fairness. If Adam and Eve did this, right, is it fair that all of us have to suffer as a result of what Adam and Eve did, which are our foreparents? Is that fair?
It's not a question of fairness. It's a question of consequence.
The question that we're asking is it fair that, okay, say you got two daughters. Say you got two daughters. One daughter is good, the other one is misbehaving, right? But you're going to punish both daughters because one daughter acted up. Is that fair to that other daughter?
No.
Okay,
That's absolutely unfair.
Okay. Deborah, let me bring you back in just for a moment. Let me ask you the question, Deborah. Deborah, you got two daughters, and one daughter is really good. The other one is acting up. But you're going to punish both of them equally. Deborah, how is that fair?
Okay, that is not fair, but the question is God fair? Is what, because of Adam and Eve, what they did, is it fair for us to bear what Adam and Eve did? And my answer is yes, because God is always just and he's always fair. And we may not understand it or comprehend it because his ways are not like our ways, And so, yes, in that instance, is it fair for him to punish us for, what Adam and Eve did? Yes, absolutely.
Well, why not punish your two daughters? Why not punish them equally when only one of them acted up?
That's a whole different dynamic. That's a whole different dynamic.
Okay. All right. Dr. Valentine, are you there? You want to contribute?
Yeah, no, it's not fair. And I believe the proof is that he made an advocate, which is Christ, with the Father to represent those who are in a sense innocent. So, we don't understand what we see in the scriptures. We all don't. But if you look at the end result, he made provision to forgive and to become an advocate. So God, he saw that it was not fair. He saw that it wasn't fair. That's why he made a plan of salvation. That's my answer.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Lady C, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Lady C, so let me ask you. Huh? Go ahead. Give me your thoughts.
Feel that everybody want to blame Eve and say God punished Adam because of what Eve did. I'm gonna be real with you. He didn't punish Adam because of what Eve did. Eve may have persuaded him to eat that apple, but it was Adam's choice to eat the apple. So it was an even thing. It was an equal sin there. They both did wrong. They both did not listen to God, no matter what. Even if she persuaded him or not, he still ate that apple.
Okay, we don't know what fruit it was. We just assumed it was an apple. But
we just assuming it's an apple. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nobody knows what it was. But he ate
right.
that forbidden fruit.
Right. So we're going to ask you to stand by, you all. Tonight, if you're just joining us, the topic is, if we're born into sin, is it all our fault that we're sinners? And we've got a number of scenarios. Chrissy, let's see if we can bring you back in. Chrissy, are you there?
Yes,
Chrissy.
I am, and then I'll be going off after
okay,
this
Chrissy,
here.
Okay, Chrissy, that's fine. Whatever you have to do, just answer this one question, Chrissy. If you got two daughters, one of the daughters is good and one is bad, and you're going to punish both of them. You know, like I had a set of twins in my family. My older brothers were twins. And when one of them got in trouble because my father could not identify them, he couldn't tell which was which. And so you know what he did? When one got in trouble, he just beat both of them. And they were always questioning that. That is not fair that I got to take the punishment for you. That is just not fair. He beat both of them because he could not tell them apart. They were identical twins. So, Chrissy, was that fair?
No, that wasn't fair. But if the one who did something had told the truth, then that wouldn't have caused the other one to get a beating, you know, because they know they had not done anything. So in a scenario like that, or in any scenario, if you got two daughters or whatever, if the one that know that they did something wrong confess and tell the truth, then it will not cause punishment on the other one. So that's just it. I mean, but if we, because we all know right from wrong. So again, it's about telling the truth, and that's it. The truth will set you free.
Uh-huh. So do you think that God's plan, like we heard Dr. Valentine earlier say, God made a plan of salvation. Deborah concurred with that as well. She said that as well. So if that's the case, I mean, it's like, you know, when you wake up and you have these pains, you're like, are we saying, Adam, why you did this? Eve, why did you do this? Or are we saying, but yet at the other breath, we're saying, well, God, can you, like, ease the pain? Chrissy, have you ever felt that way?
I mean, God will help us. We have to have the faith to believe that he will help us. And he does help us. But his time is not our time. So, and then why shouldn't we go through some suffering? He went through a whole lot of suffering for us.
But
he
we were
still
born,
is right there.
But we were born into this. Okay, let me give you a scenario just before you go here. A woman contracted AIDS from her boyfriend, whom she had no idea at the time that he was infected with the disease. Later she became pregnant and the baby had AIDS. The question is it the baby's fault that he was HIV positive?
Of course it's not the baby's fault. It's the mother's fault because of the choice she made, okay?
But she had no idea that the man was,
okay,
I mean, it could have been the husband.
Well, even if it was a husband, then he definitely committed adultery, okay, fornication. But if it was just a boyfriend, that was a choice she made to lay up with him and contracted that. But is it the baby's fault? Definitely it's not the baby's fault. Because the children don't ask to come into the world. And children suffer because of mother and father's mistakes, okay?
Okay, so Chrissy, that's what I'm asking the question. We're the descendants of Adam and Eve. They're the ones that caused all this problem. They're the ones that caused all of this mess. And so now, as a result, we contracted all of the illness and the pain and the suffering. So I know
it's
a deep when you all.
God died for all of us. God sacrificed his life for all of us so that we will have a right to eternal life. It's a choice. Constantly we cannot say it enough. It's truly choices that we make in life. It's just choices. So just because Adam and Eve, what you're going to keep blaming Adam and Eve for everything? No, it's
the
choices that we make.
All of this. They're the cause of all of this. That the Bible tells us that we're born into sin. And Dr. Valentine is saying that the earth was sinful because the devil was kicked out of here. So what she's suggesting or inferring, and I'm not saying that I agree necessarily, but that the dirt that he made us from was already trampled on as sinful. So we're born into sin, and then if we look at iniquity, shaped into iniquity, when we look at the definition of iniquity, we come up with that definition that is immoral or grossly unfair behavior. Unfair behavior. And that's what was found in Lucifer's heart. We're going to ask all of you all that can to stand by. We got a deep one for you tonight, and we're looking for some answers. Let's see if anybody has any out there. And, you know, it's okay to not even know. Let's go to Benny from the block. Benny from the block, welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're so happy that you joined us. Benny, tonight we're talking about if we're born into sin, into a world of sin, is it all our fault that we are sinners?
Not at all. Just because you're born into a situation doesn't make you an applicant of that situation. It's just the situation. And so, like, a lot of us are born into families. Some of us are born into families where we have certain things that happen in that family, but there's children who are not affected by that because they have made a different decision. I was born in a family of six. I'm the last of six. I studied and watched my siblings growing up, watching what they did, what didn't work, what did work, and I knew how to navigate through my parents of what not to do wrong, because I go, oh, I'm not going to ever do that because that doesn't work. So we have choices to decide on how we want to live. We don't have to live a sinful life. We don't have to live a painful life. We have examples that have been set before us. Adam and Eve were examples that were set before us, and they gave us direction as to what we should and should not do. And we know the consequences of what happens once we do make those decisions.
Okay, but now, okay, Benny from the block, let me throw this one at you now. Let me throw this one at you. And those of you online, I'm going to be personal for a moment, all right? And this is not intended to offend any of our audience who may be of another ethnicity. I do want to put this out there, and this person is posed to Benny on the block. Benny on the block, I am a black man, okay? And whether you label me African-American or whatever it is, I'm a black man. My ancestors are from Africa. So, Benny from the block, and, I mean, is it to live in America where there is not just the appearance, but there's the actuality of unfair treatment because I am a dark man. Is that fair? And this has been for more than 400 years. Is that fair? And if you answer the question no, then why has God allowed that?
Well, okay. So remember, I said just because you're born into a situation doesn't mean you have to be an applicant of that situation. You didn't apply to be a black man. You didn't apply to be in a society where there is that type of racism. You were born into this. So you have to figure out how you're going to navigate through life and not keep going back to that point that you're a black man living in this country and things are different. You have to change your mindset so that you get a different result. You cannot just stay with that one result. I can tell you the same thing. I grew up if you grew up in a neighborhood that's the hood, that's not fair either. The hood is just as unfair as some of the things that are in America, but you still have to make do, and you have to figure out how to navigate through the environment that you're in to put you into a better environment where you can do things differently.
You know, okay, right, I get that. But for 400 years to oppress people who, you know, are supposed to have equality in a land that God is the manager, the director, the owner of, you know, I mean, for this to go on for over 400 years, come on now, come on, for over 400 years, I am proud of my color. Let me just say that there. And I don't mean to offend anyone out there, but I'm proud of this. But I can tell you this, there is nothing fair to be where someone wants to have supremacy over you because you are a different color. All of us are God's children. All of us are God's children. And, you know, and it's you can't just say, well, this child who's born into the projects, that, you know, you got to wait till you grow up and grow and hope for a better life. Hope for a better life. You know, hope for a better life. When you are profiled just by riding in a car, in a certain car. Hope for a better life. All right, but tonight's topic is we're talking about if we're born into a world of sin. So, and then, in other words, is this all a part of sin? And then is it my fault that, I mean, I love my blackness. I embrace it. But then is it all my fault that I got to be harassed? You know, I mean, I'm just looking for fairness. That's what we're asking tonight.
It's only your fault if you continue to stay in that negative way of looking at things and not look beyond what you're actually seeing. If you keep manifesting that feeling like, oh, I'm being oppressed, I'm being, yes, it is your fault. Because
no, Benny, I totally disagree with you. Let me tell you why. Because it's not necessarily negative thinking. It's because when you decide that you're going to go buy, and this is my experience, you buy luxury cars. I've got Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Jaguar. And because you're driving, you become profile. Where are you going? What you doing? Almost like, you know, why are you driving this type of car? Why do you live in this neighborhood? You know, it is not negative thinking. The depression stays on, maintains itself on your neck. It does, until you really can't breathe. We're going to ask you to stand by, Benny. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by. Just a second. Let me go to Sister Marva. Sister Marva, the question is, if we're born into a world of sin and we're shaped into iniquity, meaning more immoral and more or unfairness, how can that be our fault? And we got some more scenarios coming at you all. Sister Barbara, how can it be our fault? How?
It's our fault because of choice. I was born into a Christian family. There were 12 of us, 6 boys, 6 girls. And I can go down the line. The first one is a chain smoker. The second one is a wife beater. The third one, I don't even want to mention, and so forth. But I have a brother that is very pastoral. You know, he can give you counsel. He can be, he's kind. If you tell him something, he'll keep it forever. No one else will hear about it. And so each of us on down the line has made a choice. My father was a pastor, my mother is a teacher. And so, you know, we were raised in a Christian home, morning and evening worship and go to church. And yet, half of us chose to go a different way. And the other half chose to continue to walk in the ways of God. Not that we're not saying that I'm better than the other ones, because Jesus himself said to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, regarding the people who crucified him. And so I see that, I would say it's a choice. It's a choice we make. And you have the Holy Spirit within you.
Okay.
God has given you the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is your conscience and tells you what not to do. And then you override your conscience.
All right.
That's when you are wrong.
Let me interject,
yes,
just for a second. Because when I initially asked you that question at the top of the hour, you said no. It's not all our fault. But now you're coming back and you're saying it is our fault. So which is it, Sister Marva? Is it our fault or is it not our fault? Which one is it?
It's not our fault that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But it is our fault when we continue, as Benny on the Block says, if we continue to override the Holy Spirit and do something wrong.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Deborah, we want to bring you in. We're going to ask you to stand by, Sister Marva. Deborah, are you there, Deborah?
Yes, I am.
Okay, listen. Okay, here's a scenario. All right? Carol is a functional drug addict and routine drunk. She does all of her activities with drugs and drinking in the comfort of her home or with close friends. Is she a sinner destined for hell? Is she?
Absolutely not. Absolutely
not. Why not?
Because there is a point where she can turn her life around. And we don't know how God is going to judge who's going to get to heaven. We don't know a person's heart. We can't look into a person's heart and know what a person is. None of us are innocent, Dr. Walker. When we are born, we are not even born innocent. We say babies are innocent. Babies, none of us are born innocent. None of us. So, you know, we can say, now there are going to be circumstances we're going to encounter in our lives. Circumstances and situations going to come up, like you was talking about, you know, being racially profiled. Those are unfair. Those are situations that's going to be unfair. But to say, you know, because we are born into this world of sin, is it our fault? To say it's not our fault is to say God made a mistake. And I've never known him to make a mistake, ever. And so that's to say he made a mistake somehow. And he doesn't make mistakes. So if we're born into this world of sin, then it is our fault. Because none of us
are
innocent.
It's our fault. It's our fault. So, okay, we seem to be a little mixed up tonight. Some think that it's our fault. Some don't think it's our fault. And they're bringing it down to choices. All right, let's take a look. Deborah, I want to stay with you just for a minute because you said that the lady Carol could turn her life around. That infers that she is doing something wrong. That infers that she's doing something wrong because you say you never know how God can use her. So for her being a drug addict, and I asked you the question, is she destined for hell? So,
well,
I mean, can she make it into heaven? Go ahead.
Yes, she can make it into heaven. Listen, if you've gone contrary to what the Word of God say, then you're sinning. You're sinning. Now, I don't know what Carol is out there doing. She's a drug addict. I don't know. I'm just saying, if she's doing something that is sinning, and can she turn her life around? Yes. But who am I to judge Carol?
Right.
Because, who am I?
Being a drug addict, is that contrary to God's law? I mean, we got a pharmaceutical store on every other corner. And it's just given, there's a difference between the legal and the illegal drugs. And then all of a sudden now marijuana is legal, which once was illegal in certain states. So what is it, Deborah?
Okay, so he says that to render to Caesar, which that is of Caesar, correct? So if she's a drug addict and she's doing illegal drugs, then that's illegal.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Deborah. Lady C, let me bring you in. Thanks for your patience here. Wow, we got a deep one here tonight, and I'm just trying to, you know, I'm just trying to ride through this here. I got some more scenarios to come at you. Lady C, is Carol, in your opinion, destined for hell because she's a drug addict over there and she's a routine drunk? Benny Block from the block,
no.
I'm going to ask you the same question. Stand by. Okay, why not?
No. No. Because, okay, in the Bible, it constantly tells you your heart alignment has to be with him, you know? There are commandments that God asks us to follow. One is, it says we should love the Lord with all our heart and our soul. Okay?
And the second one is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. We know him.
Exactly.
So your point.
As long as we have those two, we are not going to hell. We got to keep our hearts aligned with God. The ones that that follow Jesus in the Bible was all sinners. So nobody's sin is more better than the other person's sin. And none of us are perfect. So I know, you know, you keep saying that, you know, what if I'm perfect? Nobody's perfect.
Nobody. There's nobody in this earth is perfect. We will never be perfect. We all sin. But as long as our alignment is with God, we will enter into the gates of heaven. And none of us can even say that we won't due to the fact we're not God. We are not the judge. We're not the judge of someone else's
all right.
sin. Just like, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Just like
Matthew speaks of it right there. You know, if anybody read Matthew, it talks about judgment, you know? So I just say we all sin. We can't determine who's going to enter into heaven and who's not.
Right. Okay. Benny from the block. Let's same question out here. Carol, drug addict, you know, routine drunk. There's nothing that sounds like she's going contrary to God's law unless I can't even say overindulge.
Well, you know, it's always easier to look at a vice, and that's just what it is, a vice or a sin that has grabbed us that's visible, and we can always leech onto that. But what about our hidden sins? What about all those people that have done things that we don't see, you know, abortions, hidden drugs, liars, deceivers? So we don't see those. But when we look at a person, we can actually see their vices. We tend to be more judgmental against them. And God is not looking at our vices. He's not looking at our sin. I mean, we talk about people all the time, but, you know, come on. We had people in the Bible who were that were not good people. They were liars and deceivers and doubters and all kinds of things. But God still had a special place in their heart. Even Moses offended God and cast him out of the promised land because he was disobedient to what God had told him, but he still was able to go to heaven. He was resurrected and went to heaven. So God is not looking at your vice. And that's where we go wrong at. We so often want to look at what people do. It's not about that. God looks at your heart. Look at David. God said David had a heart after himself. And David did some what we would consider today kind of, you know, heinous things. You know, he had somebody killed because he wanted a woman. He had a baby with it. His children was raping. It was just horrible. But still, God had favor for David because God looks at your heart. Now, I'm not saying that just because you have a good heart, you can go and do any and everything you want to do. I'm saying that we are always working toward perfection. I hear we say we're being perfect. No, we are always striving toward perfection. And Jesus did come here in a human form, and he took on all the same things that we take on. He experienced everything that we're talking about today, racism, discrimination, this, that, whatever. But he kept his divinity by maintaining what the Word said. He is the Word. So therefore, he said to all of us, yes, I came here, and I just wanted to let you guys know you can live a perfect life if you stay with the Word. We make choices. We give in to our humanity. We say things like, well, I'm just only human, to validate our bad decisions or our bad choices. No, we are consistently working toward perfection because he said, I have perfected you. And so we are always working toward that, and we should not take that lightly. We should not ever take that little vice that we do, whether it's drinking, smoking, drugs, sinning, sex, whatever it is, we should always try to move away from that and move closer to what we know we should be.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. This is a deep one tonight. If we are born into a world of sin, is it all our fault that we are sinners? All right, that's tonight's topic. And we've looked at sin as being contrary to God's law. We've looked into iniquity. We discovered that iniquity is found in the devil's heart. You know, but God created the devil. And we're not saying that God made any mistakes out here. And some of our audience, some of our listeners and callers have said that it's our fault. Some have wavered to say it's our fault, and then maybe it's not our fault. And then maybe it is our fault. And some of us, we're not, it seems like we're not really certain if it's our fault. But Lady C, let me give you another one here, and this goes for all of us tonight. I'm going to ask Lady C, Sister Marva, Benny from the block, as well as Deborah, the same question. Let me start with Lady C. And I want to just get you all opinions, and I'm hoping it's not influenced by another party. Marvin has been married 4 times to 4 different women. It's not like he married the same one 3 times. Marvin's been married 4 times to 4 different women. Other than, the question is, other than his first wife, are any of those marriages valid, in your opinion, in the sight of God? Lady C, what do you think? Are any of those marriages valid? Lady C?
Oh, maybe I thought you guys were hearing me. I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute to keep quiet, to keep the noise down.
Thank you.
My view on marriages in the Bible, I had to read the Bible to understand them, in my opinion. I feel like there's a difference between a godly marriage and a man marriage. I feel like a marriage is from the heart. You know, it's from the heart. You know, it's who you pray for. It's whoever you pray for. It's who you see yourself growing old with. You know, because everybody has that one person that they're in love with. And that the person that they see themselves dying with, they're growing old. I feel like that person is the man that you should marry, or the woman that you should marry. Now, when it comes to a marriage certificate, to me, that is just a protection plan. You know, I feel like that's a man marriage. Sometimes when we're younger, we're always told, if you grew up in a Christian family, you're told it's better to marry than to burn. It's better to just get married and live with the man than living with the man and not be married with him, because if you don't marry him, you're going to hell. Realistically, that's how I grew up. And so we tend to get into marriages thinking we're going to go to hell. Because why? Our family told us we're going to go to hell, you know? So we end up marrying for that certificate, knowing that's not the man for us. Now, does that mean that is who God gave us? No, because we chose to marry this person. God didn't bring that person into our life. So, yes, like I said, when it comes to a godly marriage, I feel like that godly marriage is the person that you marry that's from your heart and your soul, is the person you see eternal with. But that marriage certificate is just a protection plan.
All right, so one of our callers, Deborah, I think it was tonight, and we're going to give her certainly an opportunity to rebut this or to speak on it, said that the Bible says to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. So if Caesar is asking you to get a marriage certificate, which you kind of infer as a safety net or security blanket, then, Lady C, what's the deal with that? Should we go contrary to Caesar?
I feel like I said, it's a security net. It's a security net. It's a security net.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Sister Marva, just quickly here, because we're starting to run out of time, you all. We are really already starting to run out of time. We got a deep one here tonight. That same question. Marvin's been married 4 times to 4 different women. In the sight of God, in your opinion, other than that first wife, are any of those other marriages valid?
Well, it depends on why he got divorced.
If it wasn't for a reason for adultery, if none of it was adultery, none of it was adultery. They didn't die, and it wasn't adultery. So now, are any of those marriages valid in the sight of God, other than that first one? Being on the block, we're going to give you that one as the last one. You'll be the last one we come to on that. Deborah, you're
next. I would say yes.
So those marriages are valid?
Yes.
And in fact, all right, thank you for that. Let's go to Deborah now. Deborah, those 3 marriages, what are they? Are they valid in the sight of God?
Oh, my God. Listen, I agree with Lady D. I think it is Lady
C. Yeah, Lady C.
I agree with Lady C. Sometimes they're just certificates, okay? Now,
oh, wait a minute. Deborah, I got to interrupt you just a second. Deborah,
okay.
If you don't mind, let me interrupt you just a second. I apologize in advance. Hold up. Now, you just were the same one that said to us that the Bible says, render unto, see, and here's where the justification comes in. All of us do it. We justify that which we want to justify. Because you just said to us, Deborah, that the Bible says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Did you not say that earlier?
And I didn't, but I didn't say everything to render unto Caesar is right.
Oh, go ahead.
Certificate is man-made law. Yeah, we're going to get married, give you this certificate. The Bible says
that's
better to burn. It's better to marry than to burn. And so some people use that. Okay, so I don't want to burn, so I'm going to get married because this is what the Bible says. See, now that's a certificate. That's a certificate.
Okay.
But when it says in the marriage vows, it says what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And I think
right.
The key word here is what God has joined together.
That's absolutely brilliant. Because I say many of you all may have heard me on my show when it comes to marriage. The institution, this is just my opinion now, just like everybody's giving their opinion, you all, and I'm just giving mine, and we don't always agree. But I often say the institution of marriage is of God, but not all marriages are of God. That's just my personal opinion, you all. The institution of marriage is of God, but not all marriages are of God. Benny from the block, we're going to go to you because we're running out of time. Benny from the block, that same question. He's been married four times, four different women, and none of them, it was no adultery. They got on his nerves. So he just, you know, it's like, I can't please him. So
well,
he's on his fourth one. Other than that first one, Benny, from the block, what do you think?
If you go with the word, and ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your seatbelts because I'm going to take you for a ride.
There you go.
The words, every person that you have sex with is your sex.
Yep. There you go. There you go.
So now let me ask you a question. How many spouses have you or how many spouses have you had in your lifetime?
Many of us have been the children of Solomon. Many of us have been the children of Solomon, and you all know what I mean by that.
Okay.
Who is he asking that question to?
Anyone who wants to answer it.
Yes, anybody wants to answer it, but I'm saying you sure can.
Listen, I am proud to announce mine. I can tell you because I'm a relationship person, I can guarantee you I have not had no more than 10, not even close to 10. So
whoa. So you've been married 10 times. So of course you
No, I didn't say that. I said not even close to 10.
I'm just teasing you, lady. But I'm just telling you what the word says. The word says if you have sex with any person, that person is your spouse. And Dr.
Right.
Jesse can confirm that. That is a truth. That's
exactly.
True.
Exactly.
It is in the Bible, and it's but we don't talk about that, see?
No, we don't.
We talk about the paper side of it. Oh, well.
Not only the paper side of it.
No.
You're right. We only talk about the paper side of it.
If you sleep with a woman, if you sleep with a man or a woman, that is your spouse. Period.
That's it.
So
that's
the
it.
The question is, how many spouses do we really have?
Exactly. That's the question. That's the Benny from the block. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're running out of time. We want to get to some other people, and we got some more scenarios coming at us.
Hey,
don't go away, you all.
Dr. Walker, this is Deborah. Okay, but
yes,
the Bible also says, what was the woman? Was she the woman at the well who had the?
Yes, she was the woman
at the
well. Right.
She had four. And he said, and not
right.
four husbands. He said, not one. They neither one of them are your husband. So how
right.
do you explain that one?
Okay, I'll bring Benny from the block in on that one. Go ahead, Benny from the block.
So you do understand what was happening with the woman at the well. The woman at the well was, when he was speaking to her, he was speaking to
a situation that was going to come
right.
up later, not
mm-hmm.
so much what was happening then. So
right.
when we study, look at the word, you got to make sure you read. You got to read three chapters before what you're reading about and three chapters after to get the full understanding. He was not talking about her present situation, because if you remember, when God was writing the sins of all those people that wanted to stone her, again,
right.
some of those people were the same people that were sleeping with her. They just hadn't gotten caught. So she knew her situation. God exposed those men's situation to them by writing their sins on the ground. That's why he started leaving from the oldest to the youngest, because they understood that they were no better than what she was. He was talking to her situation. That's why he said, go and sin no more, because he knew what was coming for her. You got to read the rest of the story, and there's a story
right.
why he really thinks that.
Been in front of the block? It looks like we
yeah,
lost him
finished.
For a moment.
No,
oh, okay.
I was finished.
Right. Oh, okay. All right. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by if you're just joining us tonight. Topic is, if we're born into a world of sin, is it all our fault that we are sinners? I've got some more scenarios coming at you all tonight, but let me go to the phone lines again. 662-714. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which is your one-hour inspiration program. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
Well, hello, Dr. Walker, and to the group. I was just listening to you all's conversation, and it was very interesting. And I'm going to make it short
okay.
and brief.
Okay, what's your name, sir? What's your name?
Larry.
Okay, sir, Larry, thank you for joining us. Go ahead. You're going to make it short and sweet.
Okay.
We certainly welcome your comment.
Okay, all right. But it goes back until the Old Testament. If you read your Bible, which I hadn't read it completely, but I do read my Bible, and it says that Adam was the first man that was here, and he did everything that God asked him to do in the vineyard and harvest, did everything. He didn't do anything wrong. And then he said, I'm going to give Adam a woman. He needs a companion. And so he took the rib from Adam and made woman. I'm not trying to say it to offend any women now, because I'm not into that, but it wasn't sin, always have been. But we living in a world of sin now, to the point to where you can't put the blame on nobody, because you're living in it and you can't live above it. And that's what I had to say.
All right. We certainly do appreciate your commentary. Thank you so much, Mr. Larry, for joining us. We certainly appreciate it and hope you'll stand by. Any of the rest of you all want to chime in on this thought tonight? I've got some more scenarios. Press 1 on your dial. We'll try to get to you as quickly as possible. Let me go with, let's see who we have here. Sister Marva, we're going to bring you back in for this particular one. Let me bring it up right now. This scenario. Both my parents were high-profile criminals who grew up with multiple problems as children. Is it my fault that I turned out just like them, being a problem child throughout middle and high school? So it's in his blood. It's in his blood. Sister Marva, is it this child's fault that he grew up just like both of his parents?
No, it's not. It's not the child's fault if the child had no other stimulation, no other environment to live in. But once that child has been exposed to a choice to do better, then they can. They can make a choice to not be like their parents, to be able to see that their ways took them in an unpleasant life. I don't want that for myself, so I'll choose the opposite. I'll choose to do something better.
All right. So, Mark, we're going to ask you to stand by. Deborah, I want to bring you in. And with this same scenario, the boy, both his parents were bad. Problem people. It's in his blood. It's not just one parent was off the chain. Both of them were. And now the boy is 9 years old, 9 years of age. And he says to you, Miss Deborah, you're his teacher. How do you expect me to be good when all I see in my environment is bad? What you label as bad, Miss Deborah. So how do you expect me to be good when both of my parents, my dad had been in jail since my mom said he went to jail when I was 2 years old. I'm 9 now, so I don't even get to see my dad. He's in prison. And my mom is bad, you know? So how do you expect me to be good? What are you telling Miss Deborah? You're his classroom teacher.
Okay,
go ahead.
In life there are going to be choices, and you can make a different choice, or you can be different than your parents. There are kids who have been brought up in an abusive household and said, you know what, I'm just not going to be that type of parent, and said and strive to not be that type of parent. So it comes down to choices again. At some point, that kid has to make a choice if what they're going to do with their life, and stop, or making excuses. I'm this way because, but change the way your attitude is, and that's what I would tell him. You can change your outcome. Your outcome don't have to be like your parents.
Miss Deborah, he sees you once a day, you know, for 5 days a week. Okay. And then he goes back to his environment where it's an environment of survival. And you're asking, Ms. Deborah, a 9-year-old child to make a choice to be different when he doesn't know what he's going to have to eat. He doesn't know whether or not his mom can buy him shoes, that he has a hole in his shoe, and to go to school. He doesn't even know if his mom is going to come home that night or not. Ms. Deborah, and you're asking this 9-year-old to make a choice, to change maybe something. Just before you answer that, we're going to go to the phone lines once again. Let's go to 786-319. 786-319. Who do we have in the room?
Hi, Dr. Walker, and hello to everyone on the call, all your co-hosts and guests. Very interesting show. Sister Marjorie, I was just listening and just decided to just call in. Very interesting show.
Well, thank you, Sister Marjorie. We certainly do appreciate you being here. Let me go back to Deborah. Deborah, so you're asking this 9-year-old to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when his environment is, you know, you're his teacher. And
mm-hmm.
he's like, I don't understand. I'm 9 years old. How do you expect him to comprehend what you're asking him to do when all he sees is survival in his neighborhood?
Okay, so Dr. Walker, you can plant a seed, and you may not see it grow to its full potential. But as a teacher or as a neighbor that see a child that is going wayward, it is your opportunity to at least plant a seed. The seed is, listen, I care about you and your future. And I love you, and I want to see the best in you, and I know you can be the best. And it's all about just planting a seed. And maybe that year he don't change, and maybe the next year he don't change. But then maybe the third year he'll start to think about that teacher who said, you know what, I care about your future, mm-hmm. and you can change your future. And so that teacher has, because there's teachers that has been in my life that I can still remember from elementary who planted something in me that I took to me to adulthood. And so that's all you can do is just plant the seed, and you may not see it grow.
Okay. All right. Benny from the block, I want to bring you in here. And I want to ask this question here because I'm concerned now with being our brother's keeper. You know, for I was hungry, Matthew 25, 35 through 40. I won't read all of it, but just, and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and we welcomed you, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And God answered and said, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of them, you have done it unto me. So, Sir Benny, let me ask you that. Having read that, is it our fault or is it the fault of these children, like that 9-year-old boy, that we who call ourselves believers in God, we who will call ourselves Christians or followers of Christ, is it that 9-year-old's fault or is it our fault that we're not doing enough to make help that 9-year-old make the right choices by making improvements in his community? That's the question.
There's three parts to this answer I want to first identify. Most of us don't realize that the first God that our children ever meet or see is us.
Amen. That's right.
So if that's the first God that they see, then who are we? And what are our children seeing? The second part of that question is, if we don't take full ownership that everything we do, a lot of us take personal, you know, accolades, well, I did this, I achieved this, I've done this, I've done that. You didn't do that on your own. God allowed you to be able to do all these things. And because he's allowed you to be able to do all these things, the honor should go to him, not to us. Because it doesn't take but one situation, and I can bring up one person's name, Job. Job was doing great in his life, and one slight situation changed his health, and all of a sudden everything he had went away. So we got to make sure we understand that it's not us that is really doing what we think we're doing. It's the God in us that's allowing us to be able to have the energy, to be able to have the brain power, to be able to have the determination, to be able to have the consistency. That is God's DNA in us that has allowed us to achieve all these different things we have achieved, raising our children, being good, faithful people. So we have to know that all came from God. And so we cannot allow our communities to fall victim to things because I don't want to help them because I don't know them people. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because if we live on the promises that God has given us, he tells us how we're supposed to treat our fellow man. And if we're not treating our fellow man with the same promises that God gave us, then what do we expect from ourselves? How do we expect people to treat us when we don't treat our fellow man the same way?
Good point. Very good point. Lady C, let me bring you in. And Lady C will close us out tonight in a little while with tonight's topic and give her opinion and her closing thoughts. But Lacey, let me ask you right now. Is it our fault? Same question I asked Benny from the blog. Is it our fault that we are not being our brother's keeper for that 9-year-old, that 9-year-old boy? I mean, if we called ourselves Christians or followers of Christ or God's children, his chosen ones, why do we still have these neighborhoods out here that are suffering in pain and poverty? Lady C, why? Lady C?
It's my
Lady
choice.
C.
You can't, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah. It's by choice. That little 9-year-old has a choice?
The little 9-year-old does not have a choice, so I'm just like the caller said. The one caller said, we got to put a stamp in that child's life. You know, it's always that teacher or that one person or that auntie or that family member who speaks life into this child. Because the person who speaks life into that child will be the can bring change into that child's future.
Okay, we're going to ask the stand by Deborah. Deborah, the question becomes, that little same little boy, that's your classroom, in your classroom, Miss Deborah, and you want to plant that seed. That little boy doesn't even know if he's going to live to be 15 because now he's part of a gang, which we talked about on the air before. And he's part of a gang, but that's his survival tool. There's no people coming around planting out tracts and literature about God, and he doesn't. His dad's been in prison. His mom's hardly home. So, Miss Deborah, as this classroom teacher, you're planting a seed. But, see, you don't live in that environment, Miss Teacher. You don't live in that environment. You're saying, I can't understand why this little boy can't change. He's so bad. but you don't live in that environment. So now, what?
And Dr. Walker, I'm a substitute teacher, and a couple of weeks ago, I was substituting kindergarten class, and there was this one kid I wanted to fight. I mean, I just literally wanted to fight him. Okay.
Okay. Why? Tell us why, though.
But.
But aren't they cute as kindergarten kids? Aren't they cute and sweet and innocent?
Yes, but this was a terror, and I wanted to literally fight him. I think I checked my mom.
Come on, he could have been no more than 5 or 6, Miss Deborah.
He wasn't. But he started out young. But hopefully, as a substitute teacher, I planted something because, you know, I was patient with him. Though I wanted to fight him, I was patient. Because I knew he had some problems going on. So that's what I'm saying about, you know, God is so patient with us. We're his children. We're like little children, too. When we come to him, we're like little children. But he is so patient with us. And so we have to be patient with them, too. And I still say, all you can do is love that person. He may be in a gang today, but that's not saying he's going to be in a gang tomorrow. You know, and we have to speak life over that life. We have to speak truth and speak love and understanding and pray for that life that God has put in your way. God didn't put that young man in your path for no reason. There's a reason why God put that young man in your path. And so, you know, like I say, we may not see his fullness that he would grow into. Don't know what he will become. But maybe we can put something in his life that he'll remember that, say, I know that person cared. And that's
all right.
Kind of all we can do.
Okay. Sir Benny, let me go back to you. We're only down to 2 minutes, you all, and Lady C is going to close us out in a moment. Benny, let me go to you now. Sally has 2 sons. One son is 14 and has a bad temperament. He's defiant, has defiant behavior, and he gets into trouble not some of the times, but all the times in school. Sally labels him to be just like his father, whom she identifies as a loser. The other child, a 12-year-old, is considered to be an angel, according to Sally, and does everything right. Here's the son that she tends to favor and rewards him with just about whatever he wants. The other son is extremely jealous of his brother, almost like Cain and Abel. Is Sally wrong to show the 12-year-old son favoritism, Sir Benny?
Yes, she is. He's absolutely wrong because her issue is not with the son. Her issue is with the father. And because she cannot take out on the father, her issue, she is now manifesting that into her son. And so anytime a person say you're just like somebody, whether good or bad, what are you really saying? We already know that. He is that's his child. What if God said the same thing to us? You're just like the devil, or you're just like those demons. You're just we wouldn't want that. Means that you've already put a no can't do better in our life jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't verify one, you can't demonize one person and then make an angel out of somebody else and think you're okay. No.
Right. But Sir Benny, we're almost out of time, but I got to ask you this. And we heard you on the air tonight say you're the youngest of 6 children. Is that right?
Yes.
And you navigated and finding out the things that they did wrong so that you wouldn't do those things. So in doing so, Sir Benny, did you find favor with your parents?
I not only did I find favor with my parents, but I also found favor with my siblings. Because my siblings are my biggest soundboard. They'll say, hey, my brother just watched us. He didn't go through none of the stuff he went through. So he was so busy watching us, he knew what worked and what didn't work.
And Sir Benny, but you're telling us in the story that Sally shouldn't have showed favoritism to the 12-year-old, but yet, Sir Benny, you found your parents found favor with you because you didn't act like the rest of them. So were they wrong, Sir Benny?
I'm not saying that was wrong, but that was just their observation And it's just like anything. If you learn somebody that's doing good and you don't have to always be on them or watch them, there's a peace. I think my parents had more peace with me than with my other siblings. And so the peace is where they found favor because, hey, the youngest, he's usually the wild one, but he kept us in peace. And so peace surpasses all understanding.
And you know what, and I think that you did find favor because the younger ones, even with my own children, the younger two found favor because you know what, Sir Benny? I was tired dealing with them older ones. the parents are tired.
I said my brother and sisters all the time, I say, I thank y'all because had y'all not shown me the way, I might have to go through some of the crazy stuff y'all have to go through. So I tell them, I buy them cards, I send them flowers. Thank you, but you are my educational guide.
Right. Excellent. So tonight we're getting ready to be closed out by Lady C. If we're born into a world of sin, is it our fault that we are sinners? And I just want to say this here that God doesn't, as Deborah said it so clearly, God doesn't make mistakes, and we're not suggesting or inferring that he does make mistakes. God made a plan of salvation because you know what? In my opinion, if I were Adam in Adam's shoes at the time, when he saw this beautiful creature that God created that was just, oh my goodness, I can't even describe Eve. But I can only imagine. He, after looking at all of them animals, and Sir Benny, you and I have talked about it on the air before, after looking at all of them animals, and if they had smells like the animals do today, and then you go to sleep into a deep sleep, and then you wake up and this the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life is lying next to you. Come on now. Come on. Sir Benny, do you feel me over there? Sir Benny? All right, perhaps he's gone off. But I'm just saying.
No,
I mean,
I couldn't get on fast.
Yeah. So when Adam woke up from that deep sleep and he saw something that looks like Eve, come on now, who can? I mean, how are you gonna not bite that fruit? You understand what I'm saying? So God knew that every man would more than likely do the same thing, and we still do that today. The women still have that kind of power, and it's not a negative statement towards the women. It's just that. Because we know that if we're with you and you tell us to drink this, we're going to drink it not even knowing what you're giving us. If you tell us to eat this, we don't even know what you're giving us, but we're going to eat it. So I'm saying that God knew that all men would be just like Adam. Sir Benny, am I off track in your opinion?
No, sir, you're right on track. And even God said that a man would never understand the thoughts of a woman. So in that, he already told us what we're going to go through some stuff because we don't know him.
And
guess
that's
what? I'm
why,
okay with that.
And I'm
okay
with
that,
too. I'm okay with that. So we are, a lot of this is our fault, you all. It's not all our fault, but a lot of it is because, and you all said it all night tonight, it's the choices that we make. Lady C, close us out. We're completely out of time.
All I'm going to say is amen, because I agree with everything you say. A man would never, ever understand the thoughts of a woman. That is what makes us powerful, ladies. You know? So everything y'all say, y'all pretty much closed us out anyways from what y'all statement. So I'm just going to leave that there. Ladies, we are powerful women. Keep doing what we are doing, okay? Keep these men straight.
Right. You know what? And thank you, Lady C, for that, for bringing that to us. And you know what? The only hope we have as men is to say, like Adam said, God, the woman you gave me. He said, but you know what? I agree with you, Lady C. You all do have the power. Listen, you all, we're out of time. Join us back here tomorrow morning. We'll be on the air from 6:30 to 8:30 when we'll be talking about the theme. Tomorrow's theme is God Still Heals. This is our International Divine Intervention Day, which starts 6:30 to 8:30. You don't want to miss tomorrow's program. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow's program, join us back here next Thursday or next Friday for your one-hour inspirational program. Until tomorrow or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Dr. Walker. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Very interesting show. God bless you all. Have a good night.